So this is a much different podcast than what you're typically used to. I was recently asked to come on a group call with Active Life Coaches. If you're not familiar with Active Life, their mission is to bridge the gap between healthcare and fitness. So these coaches are out in the crowded social media marketplace trying to make a name for themselves, trying to create content that is attractive to people so they can then monetize and perfect their craft. And this is what I discussed with them. I talked about strategies, thesis, and my overall thoughts and tips on how to make a place for yourself in social media. Guys, if you are looking to develop a personal brand, and a lot of people don't realize this, that is a large part of the business coaching that I do. I work with individuals who want to create a personal brand to draw attention and create influence on social media in order to monetize and to create a career that they're proud of, one that they can totally see themselves doing for a long period of time. So if that sounds like you, please shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'd love to talk with you on what you're working on. Enjoy the podcast.
Stu, the floor is yours.
Dope. Awesome. What's up, guys? Thanks so much for having me. I'm generally talking with the gym owners, people who need the brand and the marketing and the storytelling of their business to go a certain direction. And it's kind of locked in. They've already got the logo on the fucking building. There's some color scheme. There's some things I'm generally siloed into. With coaches, though, and those of you guys that literally you have your craft, you work with people, and then you have this thing, you guys can start kind of making your own narrative. And sometimes it can be a bit confusing and maybe a bit confrontational if the gym owner you're with maybe isn't, you know, maybe they have an issue with some of the content you make, or they don't want you making your own handle content. They want you doing it under the gym's handle. So I would love to, in any way, shape, or form, provide you guys value as it relates to you taking the craft that you have, the knowledge you have, and creating awareness of yourself in social media, in content creation, with the purpose of whatever, awareness, monetization, I don't care what the goal is. How can I help you guys with that?
Stu is fully aware that most of you guys are operating outside of a micro gym or even inside of a micro gym, creating your own brand.
If you have 1,000 followers, you should be making $100,000. I believe that firmly. I believe that 1,000%. You have 1,000 followers, and I grant it, a couple of them are your grandma and your aunt and your friends from college. But ballpark, if you are a fitness professional, you have 1,000 fucking people who pay attention to you. And I mean, that's an actual legit number, 1,000 potential customers who listen to you and your channel for information or entertainment or escapism, or ideally the combination of all three. You can make $100,000 easily in a year. I tested that theory for DTF Gym Talk. I told myself I'm going to get to 1,000 followers, make 100,000. Checked it at 1,000. I'm going to do it again at 2. Checked it at 2. I'm going to do it again for 3. Checked it at 3, and I've not been able to recreate it as it goes on. There is definitely a ceiling there. I just wish that was a linear progression. But I think it's absolutely insane. If any of you guys are like, I wish I was making more money, and you have 1,000 followers and you're not making $100,000 of extra revenue a year.
So Stu, I like a lot of these people, and a lot of us believe very similar things, at least foundationally. Like we're all in this room because we agree on a whole lot of stuff. How does an individual coach set themselves apart? Not y'all as my competition, but from everyone else in the world, as someone who can like bring value and is worth a premium price. And maybe also from your perspective as a gym owner, do that in a way that at least doesn't piss you off and hopefully makes you a little bit happy I exist in your brick and mortar.
Yeah. So let's go with the first one. Let's say all you guys are out there on the interwebs, right? The interwebs is the market, right? So you're all out there doing your thing and you're not competitors. It's that word perspective that you said. I did something the other day. The Morning Chalk Up wrote an article about 1-12 coach to athlete ratio. And I just had a different perspective on it. That's all I did is I see something and I'm like, oh, okay, but I've got a different perspective on it. Now, if I don't have a different perspective, if I literally read Emily Beers' article and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the truth. And I've got nothing new to add to it, nothing at all. Then I need to step back and think to myself, okay, what value do I actually have from the table or bring to the table? You guys should be able to look at anything in the industry. It could be a training session happening that you do or do not agree with, or maybe just have a different perspective on it. It could be a methodology you do or do not agree with, or just have a different perspective on. And you have to say it. But if you sit there and you look at everything and you're like, no, that's good. I like that too. Nothing wrong there. And you don't have a unique perspective on anything. you're not going to have a voice, not one that's probably worth listening to above all the other ones who are going to break through. If you look at anyone in content creation who has broken through, I don't care if you go back in time to Howard Stern, if you look at Joe Rogan, if you look at David Dobrik, if you look at, Emma Chamberlain, if you look at artists, you look at like fucking Auto-Tune and fucking T-Pain. I don't care who you look at in what industry, anyone who fucking broke through took a perspective at an angle that just wasn't as common. It's not even unique as in no one else was doing it. It just was uncommon. WTF Gym Talk is an uncommon source for business information because I tell you to stop being a fuckface and to do it this way. And I'll go ahead and I'll say this aggressively and I will call people out on what I think is a shitty angle or a strategy. And it's not that I'm right. It's not that I'm wrong. It's just a unique perspective. And guess what? People pay and people look at shit that's unique and not common. So that's step one. Let's on that front, does anyone have any questions kind of on like coming up with a unique perspective? I believe every one of you should have 5 to 10 theses, things you believe and you talk about all the time. Someone's like, I don't know how many of you guys actually do know me. Like, if you're like, oh, that's that guy, he talks about operational capacity a lot, doesn't he? What is that again? That's something unique. That's like a thesis of mine that I talk about that there's not a lot of talk on. Go ahead and put it into Google. You know what you're going to find? My fucking face and prison write-ups, because operational capacity is actually a term I took from the prison system. How many inmates can you put in one place before they fucking shank each other to death? And I took it and applied it to the gyms because it's very similar. But that was just a unique thesis that I'm like, no one's talking about it. I'm going to own that. That's mine. I'm going to take that and I'm just going to make a bunch of content, and anyone else can make content on it too, but I'm going to take a unique thesis. Some of you guys need to look at what Marcus Philly did with functional bodybuilding. Besides having the best SEO in the world, like over the two names, functional and bodybuilding, and somehow someone didn't already have that. It blows me away. But it's not special. It's not original. He didn't create it. He just has a unique perspective on it. And it's a thesis that other people might have talked about, that they might have been even doing, but they didn't make the content like he did at scale. And now when you go ahead and you look that up, he owns that fucking space. Because he has several theses around functional bodybuilding. So when you're thinking about yourself as a coach, what is your unique belief in fitness? What is your 5 to 10 theses that you stand on? In fitness, for me, for my micro gym, it's tempo. I believe in tempo above everything else. I do everything with fucking tempo. Everything is done with tempo. We have specific prescriptions for it. We have progressions for it. That's not unique. I didn't invent that shit. Coach Ian King out of Australia has been doing that shit for 30, 40 years. But in my micro gym community in Charlotte, North Carolina, I stand in everyone's fucking throats because I'm the only one who has that fucking perspective. Nobody else is doing that. Like, there's CrossFit gyms like, yeah, we use tempo. I'm like, yeah, my entire program's on it. It's just my perspective. My thesis is this. So I get known for a thing. If you don't have any like beliefs and theses, like, oh, that's the guy who believes that you should blah, 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 then nobody knows anything about you. You've got to have something. Going to your second question, getting the gym owner to not be kind of like douchey about you making your own content, I 100% think it just is an open conversation and letting them know, hey, I'm not you're not asking permission to make this content, but I'm in your gym. That's your stuff on the wall, right? I'm using references and maybe even stories that have happened with your customers that you pay me to service. I'd like to just get permission as politeness. It's kind of like asking a girl's dad if you can marry her. You don't fucking need that guy's permission. You just do it to be polite. You're old fashioned, whatever. Tell the gym owner, I'm old fashioned. I just want to make sure that it's cool with you that I'm making content here. I'm obviously not creating a business that's in direct conflict. You know, hopefully you're not. But you are creating content. And obviously this is a setting. This is a studio. This is a space to shoot. And I want to make sure kind of we're on the same page with that. Talk about some of your theses, what you're going to talk about. Talk about the kind of content. You want to be following the trends on Reels and TikTok and doing that cool kind of fun stuff. And who knows, if you do it good enough, kind of like Justin, if you guys listen to the podcast I did with Justin, you do it good enough, someone's like, hey, all right, yeah, sure, Justin, go ahead. Make those fucking cute little videos, buddy. And like 5 months later, like, oh shit, his fucking social media is better than the gym's. I wonder if he can help me out with that. You sure can for a price, like, right? And now you have another valuable asset to this gym owner, not just a body with the knowledge and the craft of coaching people. Is anyone here like, I'm not in the content creation. I just don't really do it. Just not my thing. I'm just going to do me. People come in, I'll service them. And then that's it. But I'm really not going to talk about it outside here. Is anyone, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. Is anyone of that belief? It's like content creation's not for me. Cool. Daryl, what's talk to me about that.
Yeah, I just, truth be told, cancel culture is just kind of where I'm at. You know,
are you going to say something so blasphemous? Are you going to say something so blasphemous about fitness that you're going to get canceled?
Yeah, that's probably the way you put it. Probably not. However, I do have pointed views and I kind of go with them. So I kind of shy away from putting them out, except for maybe a one-on-one. Cool. In a group setting of teaching class, I'll throw stuff out there. But I still kind of refrain from it a little bit. But
when you were talking about kind of the cancel culture thing, and you know, I've got some things that are maybe a little bit, or if any of those, as long as they don't exist in politics, race, you know, that kind of stuff, like, sure. I truly don't feel, if you're like, listen, all you low bar back squatters suck a dick, high bar back squats where it's at. I don't think anyone's going to, like, I hope you go, what I talk about this with Sean all the time, when he had me on the live show, 5149. When you make content, in my opinion, and you have a thesis, you accept the fact that 51% might like it or hate it. And then there's 49 that do the opposite. But that, like, I'd say probably 30% of the people who follow me on Instagram wish my mother would burn in a fire. Like, they hate me. They literally hate me. But they engage. And they, and you know what they do? They give me perspective, because I get a DM that says, that's absolutely ridiculous that you say that. I've done it like this. You're fucking wrong. And now I'm like, cool. I just kind of download that. I'm like, that's, I appreciate the feedback on that. And you want that, Kai, you want that. Because if you're, I'm not wanting you to be polarizing for the sake of being polarizing, but you really do want to think theses and these things I'm talking about making content should sometimes come out to this 51-49. Sometimes it'll be 80-20. Sometimes it'll be 90-10. But I wouldn't shy away from that, because that's going to give you your reputation, what you believe in and what you don't believe in.
No, that was huge. And like I said, when you threw out thesis, at least it sparked me like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
Because I have beliefs in what I do, and I have beliefs in how I approach it. And if I can stay focused with that, I think that gives me a direction for content that you're speaking about.
And also remember, like, we're not, none of us are infallible. Like, we're not meant to like put something on the internet that is pierceless, that couldn't be poked, that couldn't be even proven this wrong. I did a video the other day where I walked through the math as how to 12 to one, you better be charging $250 or more at a 12 to one ratio, or you're not going to make any money. I checked that math no less than 11 times before I hit publish, because I'm not a smart human being when it comes to mathematics. Barbell math is it, but beyond that, I'm like the F45 of math, okay? Understood, but like, it is so I was fearful that someone's gonna be like, dude, you fucking didn't carry the one. It doesn't make any sense. Your math is way off. But at the same time, I was like, worst case scenario, someone calls me out because a blotch in the math, but the idea, my thesis is still correct, regardless if I fudged up on the math.
Gotcha, understood. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely.
Stu, you had a question come up from
Dan. Oh, yeah, I apologize. Here.
He says, with regard to marketing and content, how do you communicate your preference and things you disagree with without coming across negative or shitting on people?
You're obviously asking the wrong fucking guy.
I wanted to say that, but I was thinking the benefit of the doubt.
No, listen, I'm working on empathy. So, you know, I think you look at models of people who do it. What's the owner of Barstool Sports? David Port something or whatever. Everyone know who I'm talking about? Polarizing guy. Very out in the open and shits on people. He has champagne bottles in his room, in his office, with people's names on them that he hates in the industry. And when they fail, he makes a video of popping the champagne and drinking it. That's dope. But completely polarizing. Gary Vee. Opposite. That guy wants everyone to, I mean, like, super nice, super like very much like, you might not like the aggression he maybe puts out, but it's a very wide empathetic message type scenario. I think what's important is that you create content that would be exactly like how you talk in real life. because content is words and it's images and it's video. And some people are like, are you just tap dancing to get clicks? And I think the thing that'll save you is when I go and give a comment, when I give a talk in person and a Q&A comes up and I have some deep feelings about that person's question or disagree with their statement or they disagree with mine, we go at it and it sounds just like any video or podcast I've ever made in my life. It is completely authentic to it. I think you don't need to worry about not coming off like a dick, because if you're not a dick, and like when you talk with people, you're more polite, you let them speak. Like however your mannerisms and your demeanor is when you disagree with people in real life, that just needs to 100% translate over to your content. So you might be one of those people. Wait, let me ask you this. Dan, are you more of a controversial guy or would you be more, you know, less controversial, I guess would be?
When it comes to, I work with CrossFitters essentially. So kind of every day, like people are coming up to me, like my clients have said this happened or this is injured or this is kind of bad. So I'm always kind of getting exposed to kind of the downsides of CrossFit essentially. So that's kind of what I'm asking now, is like, how do I point out to CrossFitters all the things that are bad about it, but do it in a way which I'm not just, because I want to work with these guys. I don't want to just piss them all off, if that makes sense.
Got it. So you want to create content that you're afraid some people are going to look at and think is like bashing CrossFit?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I think if you frame it up properly, CrossFit's not the problem. It's the prescription. It's the delivery. It's the dose response. Right? That's the problem. Cars aren't the problem. Drunk drivers are. Right? Like, and if you approach it, and like, again, if you want to, just have your disclaimer. But, guys, listen, I'm a huge fan of the methodology of CrossFit. Constantly very functional movements at high intensity, I am all for. However, in this case study, where this was prescribed and this was the dose response for this kind of person, I don't know. There's no stretch of the imagination in which I believe this was appropriate. And here's why. So I think you kind of come in with that disclaimer in the beginning, and then after a while, people kind of understand. Like, I hope at this point people realize I don't dislike CrossFit. I think everyone, when I rebranded and got out of CrossFit, they all thought like, oh, he hates CrossFit. Well, so like a ton of content on me was like, listen, guys, it's not that I dislike CrossFit. I was just blank. So if in the beginner, just come up with that. Put your disclaimer up like verbally or whatever on the picture of the content, and then just separate the two. And make sure and educate your audience. It's okay to look at the gym down the street that's doing CrossFit and be like, that the coach is a fucking joke. It's not a CrossFit problem. The drunk down the street, that's not an Anheuser-Busch problem, right? It's a case study problem. It's a one of one. And talk about those case studies. And great thing, there's a ton of those case studies. You'll have content twice a day, every day for a year if you look at it from that angle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so kind of address the problem, not the label of what they're doing kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, be up and open. I mean, I would be out in the open about it. That like, you know, talk about this isn't a CrossFit problem. This is a problem of a CrossFit coach that I saw. You don't have to call them out. Of a CrossFit gym I saw, but not a CrossFit problem, not a methodology problem, just a prescription problem. Like I asked earlier, who's not really in the ballpark? They don't want to make any. So that means I'm assuming, you know, Daryl's really the only one that kind of jumped in there. Is everyone else here getting pretty comfortable fucking with reels and making content, and everyone is using Canva to some degree? Is everyone kind of there? Okay.
I'm not.
You're not? Okay. What do you think is the biggest bottleneck for you, the obstacle?
I'm not creating any content right now. Like, I feel like I haven't made any time or space to do that. And I don't know where it's in my day, but like, I want to, I just haven't done it. So just got to do it.
Yeah. And what I would tell you is, if you're not creating, I promise you, you're consuming. And then while you're consuming, double dip. Like if we all looked at our screen times and we were real fucking honest with ourselves, we're spending a lot of time consuming. So when I consume, right? So taking a shit, consuming content like we all do. Don't act like you don't. And anything I'm not consuming for the purpose of consuming. I'm consuming because I run out of creative juice just like anybody else. I'm looking for ideas. I'm looking for something to spark. And I'll tell you this, when a spark happens and you can't immediately act on that spark, I do an audio note. I'll be like, all right, Stu, this is exactly what you're going to do. The second you get out of this meeting, remember that video that the Morning Chalk Up just put out? Well, fucking ridiculous. This is what you're going to do. And I talk to myself in an audio note and I instantly go back to it as soon as I can, because I can't always drop what I'm doing and create that content right then. But if you can't, if you're kind of having a hard time creating, I think it's because you're consuming as a consumer, which is fine if you want to be a fucking consumer. But if you want to make money being a creator, which is what you guys are, you're a creator first. Without anyone knowing you exist, you don't get to use your fun little coachy coach skills. They're fucking worthless, right? So you have to be looking at yourself as a creator. You create amazing bodies. You create doers. You create you. Your creations live on and manifest in other people. But for anyone to know that you do that, you have to create content, audio, video, written word, photo, whatever it is. But yeah, next time you're consuming, be like, all right, I'm on here. But I if it's not something I think I could use or take inspiration from or steal or make my own, I'm moving on. And I'm only there to hit save. Save is the button. Save that video. Save that video. Save that video. Block out a time. So I've set creative dump times throughout the week where I sit down and I look at any of my audio notes. I look at any reels and videos I've saved. And I sit down and think, okay, cool. That's a lot of stuff. I saved 15 things this week. Make one, ship it. Cool. Well, I don't need to keep looking and consuming because I still have 14 other fucking things that already sparked my imagination. A lot of us have like an inspo folder. I talked about this a lot in content. You have a folder or like an album on your phone where you put photos and videos of things that inspire you to make content. And I'll ask a client, like, how many do you have in here? Like, I do like personal brand design with people. I'm like, I got 60. I'm like, cool, you have 3 fucking posts. What the hell? You like the ratio of the stuff that's inspired you and your creation is way off here, homie. What are we gonna do? Let's don't look at anything else. Let's get through that list. There's a lot of cool shit in there that inspired you. Let's do something with that. I hope that helps. Is that?
Yeah, that definitely helps. Thank you.
There's a couple things in the chat happening here. A lot of agreeance over, I love creating, my struggle bus is creating digestible content. Something yeah. that's small and 10 seconds worth and not a 5-minute explanation.
Brevity is tough for me too. I like to talk. Like the long form podcast, that's my shit. But brevity's tough. Well, now you're in a 60-second window on reels. Like I tell you, if you're going to put any video on Instagram right now, it needs to be a reel and it doesn't need to be a trendy fucking reel. It just needs to be a reel for the exposure that reels get. But you have a 60-second window. Now, we've all gotten comfortable telling stories in 10-second windows or a couple 10-second windows. But it, again, like 60 seconds should be a reasonable amount of time. And what I would say is if you're like, I can't fit all that information into one 60-second video, then it's probably maybe a little bit too fat of a topic. Lean it out. So instead of you having like a 4-minute video, right, with 2 big fat topics, lean those 2 out into 2 1-minute videos. If it really has to go over a minute, like that fucking morning chalk up math one I did yesterday, that was a minute 50. That went to IGTV. So what? It's not a reel. So what? But it's give it what it needs. But I'm telling you guys, brevity is the key. And that's really like, even in like, when you start getting better at your own copywriting, you realize how much fat is in your sentences. You start trimming shit out that doesn't matter. And then you realize your videos. Like I'll shoot a What the Fuck Gym Talk episode video. And that video ends up being 13 minutes long. And I'm like, no one on YouTube's watching my stupid face for 13 minutes. And I got to go and chop that thing down. And when I really get to it, I really only set 5.5 minutes of really good shit. Well, just trim it down to that 5.5 minutes. Be a little more critical on yourself on what's interesting. Yeah, I get it. But also too, like if long form works for you, just go. Like there are people who make long form content all the time. Look at Emma Chamberlain. Emma Chamberlain is a 10 million subscriber YouTube channel. She makes millions of dollars a year. And she does long form daily vlogs just talking about being the life of a girl growing up. It is not interesting to me at all, but it is interesting to 10 plus million people. They ask her all the time, like, why don't you do shorter stuff? Like, why are your fucking vlogs 22 minutes? She's like, that's how I do it. I wouldn't be good at short form. So maybe you're not. Like, there's self-awareness there too. If you make a couple 1-minute long videos and you hate them and you don't get your point across, then stick with long form. Don't think like, no one's going to follow my shit because it's 4 minutes long. That's not true. If the information's good, people will listen.
Kind of backing up, I definitely follow you and I really like how you talk about, I'm going to butcher it, but good people or good creators.
Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
How do you take an inspiration and make it your own?
You steal from many. Simple as that. You look at one person's stuff. You have one viewpoint. You're like, oh, Stu, Urban Movement, you took the vowels out? Dope. I'm taking vowels out of my shit. Okay, you can. that's one dimensional. Now, also go look at Shred415, also go look at Metabolic, also go look at Alchemy, go look at this. And now you're like, oh, what Stu did there, I don't know, it's not as cool now because I've seen 10 different things. And now I can kind of blend my own thing. You want to steal from many, because when you steal from many, you end up with this Frankenstein version that doesn't look like the first guy. No one's going to call you out for being a copycat because you're just too hybrid at that point. So take pieces that are of similar nature or similar styles and pull what you like, leave what you don't. Do it on enough pieces, you eventually have something pretty unique. If you look at one post and you can say to yourself, oh my God, I'm going to recreate that for me. Okay. I'm going to recreate that exact thing for me. And I know exactly how to do it to make it look different. Then great, carry on. But if you look at one post and you're like, I love that, but I don't know how to do that without it looking exact, like it's going to be a direct copycat of that thing. Then you just need to look at more things.
How do you kind of get over the hump of like, I just talked about this yesterday or last week? Another marketing mentor that I have basically says like, you can't count on the fact that someone's going to see like 100% of your stuff. But for me, it's like so hard to click upload and I'm like, fuck, I literally just said something like this yesterday and maybe a different form or something like that. So do I just need more ideas or both?
So again, I would look at your thesis is how many you actually have. If you have 10 and you're going to post once a day on one of these kind of thoughts you have, and again, and 10 really becomes 30 over time because you start developing, you get more breadth and depth and you start coming up more opinions on things. But yeah, your other mentor is 100% right. You 1000% need to understand that less than 10% of anyone who follows you will ever see anything organically you ever post. That's it. Reels gives you a hack on that. But beyond that, and it's not even, let's just say 100% of everybody saw everything you posted. You're one of 1,000 that day. You're just another notch on the belt for that day of content consumption. So repetition, repetition, repetition. Also, someone hit me like, dude, Stu, have you heard about this operational capacity thing? It's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. I have no idea where you are, but I will come to your house and fucking murder you. Are you kidding me? Like, I've made as many videos as I could possibly make. And they're like, I just learned of this. I'm like, okay, that means I need to make more. And I need to do it in different mediums. Because again, I'm not sure how many of you guys podcast or blog and IG and YouTube and all and stream on Twitch or whatever you do. Like, you got to do it all across more mediums. I've had people tell me, Stu, I've never watched a video. I only listen to the podcast. People say, I've never listened to the podcast. I only watch the video. People do, I didn't even know you had those two things. I just watch you on Instagram. Like, you got to be frictionless for where this content goes. Like, I even rolled out a newsletter, revamped that recently because I 100,000% realized I could be reaching more people with the same message. Like, it's very common stuff. It's very similar thesis. And there are some people who love to read The Skim or The Hustle or will digest the weekly newsletter. So yeah, I would tell you increase the theses, and yes, don't worry about how often you're put out there. Change the angle. Like, give me one thesis you believe in, one thing you believe in as a coach. Get real tactical here.
I think everyone can agree with this one, but assessing and not guessing. So like some sort of movement assessment before you throw in someone into a movement.
100%. So content idea number one on that thesis. You could go ahead and make a funny video, be like assessment gone wrong or shitty assessments versus what a good assessment would look like, right? You can compare, you know, have and have nots, do it like this, not like that. Content piece number two, you could literally go through what you believe is a good assessment and break it down piece by piece by piece. Why do I do an ankle range of motion test on somebody? How do I look for shoulder range of motion? And just break it down piece by piece by piece. You could go ahead, content idea number three, you could go ahead with the assessment and you could just do some quick testimonials and ask customers to give you 10 to 30 seconds of feedback on why they think the assessment you did with them was so beneficial to their future success. And now you just have a bunch of little sound bites from customers. Content idea number four, you could then go ahead and do before and afters and save your videos from your first assessment with them and then show them 3 months later. And it's all a part of the same thesis that you should assess and not guess. that's, you just keep doing that forever and ever and ever.
Sweet. Thanks.
You got it. What else? What do you guys run into content wise? Because this is, I'm telling you, it is the difference. I don't, and again, it could be financial for you, but it's also the difference I feel like in fulfillment in your work. Because as much as the dopamine hit of getting a like, and that's not what I'm trying to push people towards, is that ecosystem. But I am trying to push people towards, you were spending a lot of time, energy, and money to learn some shit. If you were in college, you'd go to the bar on the weekends and try to fucking talk smart in front of some townie chick to get laid, right? Like, I'm gonna take all this stuff I learned and I'm gonna tell everyone, I'm gonna go home to Thanksgiving dinner and tell everyone how fucking smart I am. You guys are super smart. Who knows about it other than the people that are already paying you? Like, they, every day they see you and they like, this person's smart, that's why I pay them a lot of money. Who else knows you're really smart besides your mom? Like, you need other people to know all the info you're putting out here. Like, literally, if you're reading Sean's book, the sales ethic book, Jessica was talking about, she got some really good nugs out of that, and she's able to do an ethical sale. She can literally take her phone and take a photo of like maybe one of the lines or the paragraphs or whatever from that book. And that's like the first shot of the reel. And it's her talking about how I use this information to close a $2,400 sale. That's one. Like, you know, if you're reading something on shoulder rehab or whatever, and you're like, oh, the supraspinatus, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, and you take a picture of that or take a clip of that video. And then you go talk about, I've actually used this exact same thing with someone and we do this exercise to blah, blah, blah. You just got to share with people what it is you know. Otherwise, they don't know what you know.
Blanche asked, how do you hold, I believe what she meant to say was the attention of what your audience is interested in versus what you're passionate about?
Go with passionate first. First off, fuck the audience. Audiences find you. You can go to an audience. Everyone gave Sean shit with this whole obese thing. I hope Sean watches this. Everyone gave Sean shit with his whole obese thing. There are people, colleagues of mine, and Sean knows this too, they're like, homeboy's just trying to get with all the fatties. He's trying to get a bunch of fat clients. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to be a buddy up to the fat community, blah, blah, blah. This obese thing of his is bullshit. He's gone soft, whatever. That's fine. That's an opinion. I could tell you, Sean didn't go looking for it. He didn't go to the market and start creating content for that marketplace specifically. But that is a business strategy. You can think, what kind of content? Like, I've got a guy, he's an ex-gym owner, sold his gym. He's a videographer for dentists and lawyers. Why? Because dentists and lawyers will pay him $4,000 a month to make minuscule amount of content. So that's what he does. He only makes content that would attract a dentist or a lawyer. He picked the market and he created the content for it. He hates his fucking job. Boring as hell. Makes a lot of money. Is not passionate about it. And that will, as we all know, money and fulfillment are the only two things we got in this fucking world when it comes to our work, right? And the money works for a while and the fulfillment's real fucking low. You burn out eventually. So make what you're passionate about. Because one thing, and maybe this is just my opinion of it, but I don't know, if you don't like my delivery sometimes, you're going to be like, that dude's not my kind of guy. The one thing I would at least hope is that right or wrong and different, I come off as passionate about what I'm talking about. Like I bring the energy on it. I really give a fuck about OPCAP and HR and, you know, wealth creation with your micro gym. I care about these things immensely and I truly enjoy making the content for them. And I have a lot of thoughts about them, a lot of theses. So start there with the passionate thing, because it'll keep this endless kind of flow and fuel for you to make the content. Don't chase the market first.
Do you believe that if you go off of the passion first, that will in the end attract your ideal client anyway?
I do. Yes. I think if you go off the passion first, as long as it's something unique to see, you have something unique to say and you have a entertaining or educational way of saying it. Yes, I think so. So someone could be very passionate about, what do you guys, using glute bands around the knees. Someone could be super passionate about that. If the delivery of the content isn't entertaining or educational, that could fall flat. So I like telling people go with the passion play first, but you do have to realize just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean anyone should ever listen to you talk about it, because you can be passionate about a lot of things and not be able to create entertaining or educational content. And that is what people, that's what we look for. Education, entertainment, escapism. And but a passion just makes it easier. And I do think, if you do it right and you're passionate about it, you kind of, you fall into entertaining or educational accidentally, versus if you're like, okay, what do I say that's smart? That's not a good place to start. Start with something you already enjoy. Start with a topic you already would nerd out on anyway. Just think about the next time you're talking with a coach, like a fellow coach, and you guys are getting a beer or a coffee, and you kind of like nerd out for a couple minutes. Just think like, holy fuck, how good would that be if the camera would have just been recording us having this conversation? Like whatever that kind of stuff is, that's what you should be making the content on. And I think people will find that interesting. What else, guys? What other content creation, even tactic stuff?
I have a question just about like creation. I find myself stuck between like this perfectionism, like it's almost debilitating for me. Like I have probably 10 to 20 half-written posts, but I can never find a way to close it to where I'm satisfied with it. Have you ever experienced this, or how would you recommend I just get over that?
Is it fear of it going out and somebody calling out the shortcomings of the piece?
You know, I'm sure that has a play in it. I mean, the community that I attract anyways, I don't think that that's like the biggest fear for me. It's like, I want to be proud of it. I want it to be something that I am confident and just proud to share with people. Like I have all this stuff that I want to say, but my delivery or communication, I feel, is like lacking.
You enjoy working out?
Yes.
When you're working out and you're putting in work and you're actually applying work ethic, are you proud of the work ethic that you put out in every single workout?
I mean, no, not okay. every single workout.
Correct, but that's okay though,
the majority.
Right? Because,
yeah.
Sure, the majority, but that's okay because you get to work out again tomorrow. Live to sweat another day. With content, again, you're talking to someone, we did the numbers, it was recent, we're just on like 950, like 950 videos have been created. I don't know how many of them are dog shit, probably a lot. Like the thing with content is that there's no such thing as perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect workout. I had a really good workout. I had a shitty workout. Workout was eh. That's how everything is. Relationships, content. Anyone have a communication flub? Like the other day, one of my members, I was getting coffee and one of my members was in my gym. And I would be like, hey, Stu, what's up? Just normal what's up. And I said something like, yeah, I got to do the laundry. I said something just completely stupid and random, came out of my stupid face. And I just was like, the fuck was that? And he just looked at me and I looked at him and we laughed. I was like, I literally just did the most, I did human communication bad. I literally, the words came out of my mouth were just stupid and bad. Oh, well. Like, I think of that like content. Like there are times like Creative Matters, the copywriting company I use, like cheats up my ass all the time because I have typos everywhere. I don't spell anything right. And now I'm just like, typos are my brand voice, bitch. Get out of here. Okay. That's my brand voice. We just spell shit wrong. Okay. We're busy. And I just don't care. I just like, whatever. I don't give a fuck if I have pair. I just don't care. And so for you, if you're a perfectionist on something, I would tell you, nobody cares as much as you do. Nobody will ever be harder on yourself than you are. And that's how it should be as professionals. No one could ever fucking talk enough shit to us than we talk to ourselves and hold ourselves to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. I would tell you, like, I'm shipping this and it's one fraction of a percent of who I am as a professional, just in some manifested video, photo, image type scenario, and put less weight on it. Cause do you think anyone else puts even a half the weight on it? And someone like looks at your post, like, did she blend aqua and burnt orange? The fuck is up with this color palette? Like nobody is overly thinking any of the aesthetic of it. The only thing they will overthink is the message, the thesis, which is, again, as long as you truly have this thing, this knowledge, which you have of your thesis and like the thing you're talking about, you can stand toe to toe. I bet you any of you guys would totally like have an open-ended debate about the things you believe the most about with your fellow coaches, with clients, whatever, and you'd feel confident doing it. That's what I want you to overthink. Don't overthink the actual digital design aspect of the content. Don't ever, ever let perfection get in the way of good enough.
Can I speak to that real quick? One of my best reels I did that has like, it like went viral, took off crazy. It was because I was passionate about a topic. It was that stupid belly pumping workout that people were doing all over TikTok and Instagram. I don't know if y'all know. Anyways, And I was so pissed about it because I think it's stupid. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to get on it. I use the audio and I like record myself doing it. And then I record and then I like typed out a caption within 10 minutes of why it was trash. And I posted it. Not great, like lighting or anything. Anyways, it had 1.7 million views because it used the audio that was trending, but then it was polarizing. And so I say that to say, like, it's my best video and it took me 15 minutes to record and write up. It wasn't perfect, but it still did its job. And so, and then I'll do reels where I take an hour and it falls flat because I was overthinking it. So anyways.
Now that's a great point. There's beauty in underthinking things. Some of my I've got friends that are multi-millionaire entrepreneurs, and their greatest asset, I'll say, speed. I go fast, which means I fuck up a lot, but I also go fast and it allows me to do a lot. So there is a delicate balance and speed. Like, there's a good question here. I paid attention to the questions at the time that, how do you strike a balance between putting out content that shows your knowledge and informative content versus talking to your audience's pain points? Everything I learn, I want to share on IG, but sometimes it doesn't speak to people's deep pain points. Cool. Now you have two different posts. Do one about pain points in the AM. That afternoon, do one about your knowledge. Do them both separate times. I had someone at 12-to-1 ratio thing where I was telling everybody it doesn't work. I had a guy to send me a DM. He goes, I do 12-to-1, but I have two rooms of 12-to-1 at the same time. I was like, bingo, you get it. Fucking A, 12-to-1. I'm telling you need 24 people in a group class to make a lot of money. This guy gets like, do both.
Looks like there's one more question in here from Robin. On the topic of color for Instagram posts, colors.
For any of you guys who are not familiar with colors, COOLORS.co. So if you're looking for color schemes and things that go together, it's literally just a free website. You go ahead and you pick a color, you lock it, and then you just hit the space bar over and over and it shows you every single color pattern that would match. And when you see another color you like, you lock that one and then you keep it in the space bar and it'll give you a full palette. It'll give you everything from like the Sherwin-Williams paint colors on it in case you want to paint some shit with it to the hex codes that you use in digital content creation. It's dope. It's phenomenal. And I know we're coming up on time. One of the last things I'll say to you guys is content creation can become overwhelming. When I first started, I did one type of video and only one. Old CrossFit South End, sitting on a box or a rower and just talking to the camera long form. That's all I did. That was it. That was the only kind. It was the first 20 some videos. Then I started doing Zoom calls with clients. And then I just told every client, I'm recording this. And if I use any of the content, I'll get your permission first and I won't display your financials or anything. And then that was the only video I made for like a year, just Zoom calls, just boom, just talking. And then I got into the vlogging. And then it was this. Like, it just like, I kind of just stay on like one type of content because it is hard to be thinking like, oh, I need to make so many different, I need to do this one and this kind and just pick one style and just go with that, just one style. I'm interviewing Forrest Young. Anyone know Forrest? I know Forrest. This is his Instagram account. He owns CrossFit South Bay or some shit in California, East Bay maybe. Anyway, he's a CrossFit gym owner who got into TikTok when I interviewed him a year and a half ago. And now he's sitting at like a, whatever, 100,000 followers on that, like 50,000 on Instagram. He's got an entire another side business and he does one kind of fucking video. He does like one kind of like, it's like an intimate lifestyle look with some fitness advice kind of thing. He does like one style of video. He doesn't get too crazy with it. And that's it's simplicity. Keep it simple, stupid. Do one thing. Just pick that one. Some of you guys might just podcast and that could be it. Like, it just be that is your content. So just pick the one and go with it. But you got it. You got to pick one. Closed mouths don't get fed on this boulevard. You got to fucking talk. You got to do something.
That's one of my favorite lines.
Dude, Ace Hood's the shit.
Well, we are coming up on time here. If anybody has any last second
questions. One question I had quickly was, and I don't know if it was covered earlier, like I jumped in a little bit late. In terms of posting frequency, do you believe like, okay, a schedule? Do you believe like, okay, having a set schedule and post multiple times a day? Or like just like, okay, post daily, period?
I'm going to take, you guys are coaches, so just think of it like this. If I came to you and I said I wanted you to help me improve my back squat, what's the first question you're going to ask me? If I say I want to back squat 405, you're going to ask me, what do you back squat now, right? So start with that. I'll do a quick screen share with you guys real quick on this. So if everyone can see my screen. This is what we recommend when we do copywriting with gyms or any fitness professional. If you're going to go one time a day, that is actually two posts because you can't don't cross post. That does not mean you take what you posted on Facebook and throw it on Instagram. These are two different platforms. And if you treat them as the exact same platform, it's not going to work out well, I promise. They are not the same platform at all. One is copywriting first, followed by creative. That's Facebook. One is creative first, followed by copywriting. That's Instagram. That's YouTube. LinkedIn and Facebook are one style, like it gets treated all the way. So I generally, one time a day, do one in the AM, one in the afternoon. One on one platform, one on the other. But that's still one time a day posting, even though you are posting twice. Two times a day, one in the AM. One a little bit later. This is really scientific, as you can see. One kind of later, and then one a little bit later from that. Real complicated stuff here. Oh, three times a day. This is what I get. Any micro gym I work with, organically, this is where I go ahead, and they're like, holy shit, we're getting 30 leads a month, and I'm not paying for advertising. Now, they're posting three times a day on each platform. It's a lot of fucking work, but it's way better than giving Zuckerberg your fucking money. Remember, it's not when you post, like time, it's what you post. But yeah, try to get some kind of consistency, not like 2 p.m. every day, but just consistency on one a day, two a day, three, whatever it is. More is better organically. More is always better. And download repost. You guys follow my shit on IG? Maybe three videos a week are new. Everything else is a regurgitated video that is brand spanking used, but new to somebody.
That's helpful. Not reinventing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Reruns for the win, man. Reruns. You do not have to wake up every day and make a new piece of content. You need to rerun those videos over and over and over until they're...
All right. That's it, team. Stu, thank you again for coming
on. Thank you guys so much.